السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting Tashahud, Taarruz, Tasmiyah and Surat al-Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen Ayyadul Talib Nasir Aziz states, "These days we are passing through the Islamic month of Rabiul Awwal. In the Islamic world, particularly in India and Pakistan, this month is considered important. In fact, this month is considered important all over the Islamic world. But in these countries, it is especially celebrated on the 12th, according to one research. However, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiallahu anhu has written in the Seal of the Prophets that according to a research by an Egyptian scholar, the date of the Holy Prophet's birthday is 9th Rabiul Awwal. Nevertheless, the month of Rabiul Awwal is the month in which the birth of our master and guide, the Messenger of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took place. However, the condition of the Muslims is pitiful, that although they commemorate this day on the celebration of the birth of the benefactor of humanity and mercy for all mankind, but the way Muslims behave with one another, as mentioned by the Holy Quran, is that their hearts are divided. They have become a living example of this. Allah the Almighty mentions a good attribute of the mutual relations of a Muslim by saying, Ruhama wa bainahum, that they are tender among themselves and that they treat each other with immense mercy. However, they are thirsty for each other's blood, let alone have mercy for one another. It is reported on a daily basis that Muslims are being murdered at the hands of Muslims. And this is such a matter that is most hateful to Allah and His Messenger. If they commit such injustices out of their own accord, then that is one thing. But this is happening in the name of Allah and His Messenger. These injustices and barbaric acts are being committed in the name of God, who is Lord of all the worlds, and who is the glorious and the merciful, and the messenger who is a mercy to all mankind. And as a result, women, children, innocent, and the helpless are being made homeless. They are being made to starve and are being killed. All of this is being carried out in the name of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger with the utmost stubbornness and shamelessness. Allah the Almighty says that killing a Muslim with intention will throw you into the hellfire. In fact, God Almighty states that by killing any innocent being, you will not be able to save yourself from the flames of hell. But these religious contractors and selfish leaders are luring simple-minded and less informed Muslims towards attaining paradise, and by doing so, they are casting them into the flames. They have defamed Islam to such an extent that today the first thought that comes to the minds of those living in the non-Muslim world when they hear Islam is injustice and brutality. Indeed, there is one thing upon which these so-called Muslim leaders or scholars can gather together and speak to each other and advise about mutual cooperation. But that very thing is against the commandments of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger. The Messenger of Allah the Almighty stated that when Muslims will be in such a state, when their hearts will be divided, and they will slit each other's throats, the Muslims will turn to their so-called scholars for guidance, thinking that they have guidance. However, even those scholars will be in a similar state and will be immersed in those very activities that lead one away from God Almighty. In fact, their condition will be worse than normal people. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stated, "Ulama'uhum sharru man tahta adim as-sama," which means that their scholars will be the worst creatures found under the sun. Why did he state this? He, i.e. the Holy Prophet ﷺ, stated this because they will be the root of destruction and will be the reason for chaos. This is exactly what we are witnessing from the majority of the clerics today, that instead of extinguishing fires, they are the ones who ignite them. Thus, having painted such a portrait, the Holy Prophet ﷺ then reassured those Muslims who hold Islam dear to them by informing them of the arrival of the Promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, who would follow in the footsteps of his beloved master, i.e. the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and through complete subservience to him, he would elucidate the true teachings of Islam to non-Muslims and Muslims alike. He would illuminate the world through these beautiful teachings, then create a single unified community. However, as I've explained, these clerics deny this very fact. They misguide the ordinary Muslims and by presenting the wrong information, they create an atmosphere of disarray. They play with the sentiments of the people and they incite them using issues which are completely baseless. It is the belief of every Muslim, and each one has the conviction that without believing in the Holy Prophet ﷺ as the seal of the prophets, and that the final teaching was given to him, one cannot be deemed a Muslim. However, these clerics stir the emotions of the ordinary citizens and incense them by saying that Ahmadis do not believe in the concept of the finality of the prophethood of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. In reply to this, there is nothing that can be said except Inna Lillah, i.e. to Allah we belong, and Lanatullahi ala al-Qadhibin, which means invoke the curse of Allah on those who lie. If an individual who calls himself an Ahmadi yet does not adhere to this belief, i.e. in the finality of the Prophet of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, then that person is a sinful transgressor who is excluded from the pale of Islam, and the Ahmadiyya community has no association with such a person. Indeed, the fact of the matter is that Ahmadis translate Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, i.e. the finality of prophethood, in the way that the Holy Prophet ﷺ translated it, and as it is explained by God Almighty in the Holy Quran. There can appear no prophet who does not fall under the servitude of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and the teachings he brought. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated, Abu Bakr is the greatest among the Ummah unless a prophet appears. Thus, the Holy Prophet ﷺ never slammed the door of prophethood shut. However, no prophet can appear that is outside the jurisdiction of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. No new religious law can be created. If we accept Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani alayhi salam, the Messiah and the Mahdi, as a prophet, then we do so in his capacity as the complete servant of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And this in fact was the belief of the scholars of the past. Shah Waliullah of Delhi writes in Tafhimat-e Ilahiya, there is a saying of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which is, the prophethood terminated with me, does not mean that there will appear an individual to whom God, the Glorious One, would reveal another Sharia, i.e. religious doctrine. It only means that there will not be a prophet who will bring a new Sharia. A prophet can appear without it. Similarly, there is a saying of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, say he is the Khatman Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of the prophets, but do not say there will be no prophet after him. Thus, by accepting Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani alayhi salam as the promised Messiah, if we attribute him to be a prophet, we do so only in subservience and obedience to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thus, the clerics who from time to time enrage the general public using the sensitive issue that Ahmadis, or as they say, Qadianis, accept Mirza Ghulam Ahmad as a prophet, only do this to cause a commotion.
ये बड़ा फखर है कि उन्होंने 90 साल
اس زمانے میں جب قانون پاس ہوا تھا اور اب اس کو 125 سال ہو گئے.
The government of Pakistan takes pride in the fact that they solved the 90-year-old issue of the finality of prophethood at the time when the law was passed, and now 125 years have passed. The clerics of Pakistan and certain government officials use this to provoke the sentiments of the public. Their situation is just as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied. Instead of following their clerics, the ordinary members of public should ponder over this question, that whether or not this era warrants a reformer about whom the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave tidings and was to unite the Muslim community as one. Certainly, this is that era, and God Almighty has fulfilled His promise, and the prophecy of the Holy Prophet ﷺ has already come to light in its complete form. However, these clerics will never accept this fact, because should they do so, their position on their pulpits and their livelihood would cease to exist. They will continue to incite the Muslims. As I mentioned previously, the constitution of Pakistan grants them complete freedom. As a result of this, from time to time, they use this allegation against the Ahmadis to stage protests and demonstrations and use abusive and foul language. However, this vile behavior is only suitable for these clerics and can behave in such a way, but Ahmadis will never compete with them in their profanities. In connection with the celebration of the 12th day of Rabiul Awal, i.e. the birth date of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and the honor of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, a few days ago, almost 4 days previously, some clerics along with their thugs organized a procession and attacked our mosque in Dulmial in the name of Khatme Nabuwat. There were Ahmadis inside and they did not allow them to enter as the doors were locked. However, they opened the doors on instructions from the police, with the guarantee that they would protect the mosque. It was at this point the mob entered the mosque and the police stepped aside. They removed items from the mosque, and by burning them, they thought in their own minds that they had rendered a great service to Islam. Nevertheless, we were not to take the law into our own hands, nor do we act in this way. As far as our material possessions are concerned, we have no concern for them. What harm can they cause us? Indeed, as for our principles and our belief in the Holy Prophet ﷺ and establishing the oneness of God in our hearts is concerned, we are prepared to sacrifice our lives, but we will not be deterred from doing this. We have always stated that we will never back down from proclaiming that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and for this we readily offer sacrifices. These people celebrate Milad, i.e. the birth date of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, as a mere formality, and gather as a ritual to deliver sermons. In Pakistan, the majority of these speeches contain nothing but vile and abusive language against Ahmadis. By hurling abuse, they vent some of their anger temporarily, and through this, they deem that they have rendered a great service to Islam. However, it is only the Ahmadiyya community who has pledged to carry out this service. Initially, when the Promised Messiah alayhi salam made his claim, he stated that I have come to establish the oneness of God and uphold the honor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The revival of Islam will take place through me once again. Then, during the caliphate of the second caliph, some non-Muslims published vile and profane language in newspapers and books against the Holy Prophet ﷺ. When they exceeded all limits in their filthy language, it was at that point Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih Sani radiallahu anhu initiated the conference on the life and character of the Holy Prophet ﷺ on a large scale and invited Muslims and non-Muslims alike by stating, "Now is the time to put our differences aside and unite as one to defend Islam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He launched this scheme on a broad scale throughout India and even invited honorable non-Muslim dignitaries. It is part of the faith of a Muslim to believe in the Holy Prophet ﷺ with full conviction and to safeguard his honor. Hazrat Muslim Maud radiallahu anhu states, "The favors of the Holy Prophet ﷺ are for the entire world, as he was a mercy for all the worlds. For this reason, the honorable people from among the non-Muslims are also to speak about his blessed character." As a result, many learned people, including Hindus, wrote about the character of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the first conference was held in Qadian in 1938, odes from two Hindu poets were also recited. Under the scheme launched by Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih Sani radiallahu anhu, these conferences were held throughout India, despite a clash of ideologies and difference in belief. Non-Ahmadis, including these clerics, there were some scholars who opposed this as well, made a concerted effort to make this a success. As a result, newspapers commented on this and gave their explanations. One such newspaper, called Mashriq, Gorakhpur, writes on 21st of June 1928, stating, "This scheme will always remain in India because it commemorates the great master of this world and leader of both worlds, i.e. the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every Muslim from every sect carried this out in one way or another, and each person attempted to be in first place." The people who caused this commotion and fueled chaos also published posters. "There will be some who will always stir trouble," and they wrote speeches and sent them to us. The columnist says, "Those people who are unaware of our beliefs are indeed ignorant. Our belief is that whomsoever recites, 'There is none worthy of worship except Allah,' he will be saved." Nevertheless, he goes on to write, "We congratulate the Imam of the Ahmadiyya community, Mr. Mirza Mahmud Ahmad, on the success of the conference of 17th of June. If the Sunnis, Shias and Ahmadis gather together a few times in the year, then no force will be able to challenge Islam in this country." On 21st of June, a Bengali newspaper called Sultan, published in Calcutta, wrote, "The Ahmadiyya Muslim community on 17th of June held events all over India to present the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to our sources, these functions were successful practically everywhere they were held. In truth, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community attained unprecedented and magnificent success here. This proves that the Ahmadiyya community is day by day gaining strength. They are winning the hearts of people, and we too recognize their vigor and are desirous of their success. This is what non-Ahmadis wrote at the time and was corroborated by newspapers. This is because it was a matter of the honor of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. The Ahmadi Muslim community stands in no need to receive anyone's praise and encouragement. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiallahu anhu initiated this endeavor so that the opponents of Islam and those who mocked and insulted the Holy Prophet ﷺ would come to know the true status of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and also that all Muslims are united as one on this issue. In Qadian, some Hindus delivered speeches on the life of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. In particular, Al-Fazl, Urdu publication of the Ahmadiyya community, at that time published a special edition on Khatam al-Nabiyyin, i.e. the Seal of the Prophets. And since then, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community regularly hold Jalsa Salana Seerat al-Nabi, i.e. events on the life of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Out of 4 or 5 points he made, one was that there should be events to mark the life of the Holy Prophet ﷺ at different times throughout the year, and not just on 12th Rabiul Awal. Nevertheless, holding these events is part of the history of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. Now, with the grace of Allah, we hold such events in over 200 countries wherever the community is established. It is Ahmadis who hold the true insight into Khatm-e-Nabuwat, i.e. the seal of the Prophethood, and who enlighten the world regarding the true status of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And inshallah, God willing, it is Ahmadis who will always continue to do so. All of this is because the Imam of the age, the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, has informed us that if one wants to connect with God Almighty, they need to attach themselves firmly to the mantle of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He alone is the means to salvation, and there is no other way to accept through him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says in a verse of his poetry regarding the Holy Prophet, "He is everything. Who am I in comparison?" The Promised Messiah alayhi salam never tried to establish himself as greater than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, he always explained the greatness and superiority of the Holy Prophet, rebuting the allegation that we do not believe the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be the Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the Prophets. The Promised Messiah says, "It should be noted that the allegation against my community and me is the greatest falsehood, that we do not believe the Holy Prophet ﷺ to be the Khatib al-Nabiyyin, i.e. the seal of the Prophets. Our belief in the Holy Prophet ﷺ to be the Khatib al-Nabiyyin, seal of the Prophets, is with such absolute conviction of knowledge and insight that others do not match it by even the very minutest degree. They do not have the capability to understand the reality and essence of Khatm al-Nabuwwat, i.e. the seal of prophethood. They have merely been passed down a term from their fathers and forefathers, but are unaware of its true meaning. They do not really know what Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, i.e. seal of prophethood, is, and nor do they comprehend what true belief in it entails. However, we, through perfection, perception, which Allah the Almighty possesses most, believe the Holy Prophet ﷺ to be Khatm al-Anbiya, the seal of the Prophets. Allah the Almighty has so clearly explained the reality of Khatm-e-Nubuwwat to us that we derive a special pleasure and delight from drinking from this cup of spiritual knowledge. Nobody can appreciate and recognize this except for those whose thirst is fully quenched from this fountain. Thus, those who think that we deny Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, i.e. the seal of prophethood, are devoid of sight and possess hollow hearts. What else do they know except for shouting and crying slogans, creating disorder and causing violence and damage? Is not the propagation of Islam spread today in the world by the Ahmadiyya Muslim community sufficient proof that the community of the Promised Messiah is receiving its share in prayers made for his followers by the seal of the prophets, the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Next, explaining the essence of Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, seal of the prophethood, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, Allah the Almighty granted us the Prophet, who is the seal of the believers, seal of the wise, and seal of all the prophets. Similarly, the book revealed to him by God Almighty is the most comprehensive book, and is the Khatamul Kutub, the perfect or best book. The Holy Prophet ﷺ being the seal of the prophets and prophethood, ending with him, is not the end as if someone is finished off. To end in such a manner is not a matter of pride. In fact, prophethood ending with the Holy Prophet ﷺ means that all the excellences of prophethood were perfected and completed in the Holy Prophet ﷺ. In other words, all the various qualities that were given to the past prophets from Adam a.s. to the Messiah, son of Mary a.s., were amalgamated within the character of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Thus, the Holy Prophet ﷺ is innately the Khatamun Nabiyyin. In this way, all the various teachings and knowledge encompassed in the past scriptures and books were completed in the Holy Quran, and thus it is established as the Khatam al-Kutub, the best or perfect book. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam expounds on the status and rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says that now the only living prophet for all eternity is the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Promised Messiah says, is there anyone who can display comparable signs to those I have shown from among the Jews of the children of Israel or from among the Christians who profess the Messiah, i.e. Jesus, as the Son of God? I say emphatically that nobody can do so, not even one among them. This is evidence of the power of the extraordinary miracles of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Because it is an accepted notion that the greatness of the miracles of a master prophet who is followed is made evident when the miracles are shown at the hands of his followers or subordinate. Thus, the extraordinary signs shown in my support and the great prophecies I have been granted are in reality the living miracles of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The followers of no other prophets possess this honor and pride that they can display to others extraordinary signs through the spiritual power of the one they follow. This distinction belongs to Islam alone, and this establishes that the only living prophet for all times to come is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah. A man of God in every era gives constant proof of the existence of God through this inner spiritual purity and spiritual power of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam then says the following, referring to a commandment of Allah the Almighty with respect to the rank and status of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his humility and meekness, and how he was immersed in the love to reach God Almighty. A hadith mentions that there would be no salvation were it not for God's grace, i.e. it is God's grace alone that he grants salvation. We also learn from hadith that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion that was this also his state? Referring to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement that without God's grace there would be no salvation. Hazrat Aisha asked whether this applied to the Holy Prophet as well. The Holy Prophet placing his hands on her head replied that yes. This was a display of the perfect servitude of the Holy Prophet to God, the Almighty, that attracted his rububiyat, i.e. providence. I have experienced and tried on many occasions. In fact, I have always witnessed that when one's condition reaches a stage of absolute and extreme humility, and one's soul flows in servitude and submission to reach the threshold of the great bestower, a light descends, and it feels as if purified water is being transferred from one vein to another. Thus, where we see the Holy Prophet in a state of perfect submission and humility on so many occasions, it is because he was bestowed and illuminated with so much support of the Holy Spirit and spiritual light that it reflected in his practical example that he demonstrated. The scope of the Holy Prophet's spiritual light and blessings is so wide that his model and shadow will continue to be witnessed forever. And so all the blessings and grace of God Almighty bestowed in this era are attained through following and obeying the Holy Prophet ﷺ. I say truly that unless a person devotes himself entirely to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he cannot truly become pious and please God Almighty, and nor can he derive benefit from the rewards, bounties, knowledge and visions which are received through the highest stage of inner purification. Proof of this is found in the word of God itself, where God Almighty states in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, which means, God Almighty told the Holy Prophet to say that if one wants to seek God Almighty's love, then one has to follow the practice of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and only then shall one receive his love. Regarding the purpose of sending the Holy Prophet ﷺ and revealing the Holy Quran, the Promised Messiah ﷺ states, I have explained this previously on several occasions, and even now, while explaining this, I do not deem it a futile exercise. Thus, I would like to reiterate that God Almighty sent prophets and ultimately He sent the Holy Prophet ﷺ for the guidance of mankind and revealed the Holy Quran. But what was the purpose of all this? Every action that man carries out has a purpose. Therefore, it would be highly disrespectful and dishonoring to assume that God Almighty had no purpose behind the advent of the Holy Prophet or in revealing the Holy Quran, because this will be akin to attributing a vain act to God Almighty, God forbid. In fact, He is free from every kind of imperfection. Holy is He, and exalted is His glory. Remember that the purpose of God Almighty revealing the Holy Book and causing the advent of the Holy Prophet ﷺ was so that He may manifest an extraordinary sign of His mercy, as He states, and we have sent thee not but as a mercy for all peoples. Similarly, in regards to the Holy Quran, he states, it is a guidance for the righteous. These are such lofty and noble objectives, the likes of which can never be found elsewhere. Speaking of the lofty status of the Holy Quran and expounding on the fact that the Holy Quran possesses all the excellences that are found in different scriptures, moreover, that it is not just a book consisting of tales, rather it is there for the believers to act upon it, the Prophet Messiah states, God Almighty wanted that just as all the various attributes of all the different prophets were brought together in the personage of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, similarly, the Holy Quran should possess all the excellences and beauties that are to be found in other scriptures, and also this ummah, i.e. followers of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, should carry all the various attributes and qualities of the previous nations and peoples. Thus, God Almighty wants us to attain these excellences, and we must also not forget that in order for us to attain these extraordinary excellences, He has granted us the appropriate faculties. If He had not endowed us with these faculties, then it would have been impossible for us to achieve these excellences. The example of this can be likened to a person who plays host to a party of people. It would be essential for such a person to prepare the meal according to their quantity, as well as the dwelling to accommodate them. It can never be that one invites 1,000 guests and prepares a hut in order to seat them. He invites 1,000 people and yet prepares an extremely small area to accommodate them. Certainly not. In fact, one would take into account the quantity of the people and will prepare their seating accordingly. Similarly, God Almighty's book is also an invitation and provides for one's needs and extends this invitation and its Sharia, i.e. Islamic law, to the whole of mankind. The dwelling which Allah the Almighty has prepared for this invitation is in fact the human faculties. The various strengths given to man symbolize the house which one takes a seat in. Therefore, it is wrong to say that such and such injunction of the Holy Quran is difficult to act upon, because Allah the Almighty has granted man the strengths and faculties so that he can act upon them. The Prophet Sallallahu further states, "These faculties have been given to those people of this Ummah, i.e. followers of the Holy Prophet, who are among the true Muslims, and seek to uphold their faith with complete sincerity." The Prophet further adds, "One cannot do anything without the use of his faculties. If the teachings of the Holy Quran were placed before an ox or a dog or any other animal, it would certainly not be able to understand them, because it does not have those faculties to comprehend the teachings of the Holy Quran. However, Allah the Almighty has endowed us with such faculties that we can derive benefit from them. Thus, as long as one does not consider himself an animal, by saying that he does not have the strength to adhere to the teachings of the Holy Quran, one ought to refine those faculties which Allah the Almighty has granted to a true Muslim and adhere to the injunctions of the Holy Quran. In light of the conduct of the Muslims, and also due to the great regard the Prophet ﷺ had for Islam and the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he advised them about the most important worship in this day and age. The Prophet ﷺ states, "In view of the trials that Islam is facing today, it is incumbent upon a Muslim to contribute towards eradicating them. Among the principal forms of worship for a Muslim is to make some form of contribution towards removing these trials. At this present time, one should make a devoted effort through one's speech and knowledge, and also by utilizing all of one's faculties in order to remove the ills and wrongdoings that have become so widespread. Of what benefit would it be if one were to find the comforts and pleasures of this world? What has one attained if he achieves this station? In fact, one should endeavor to attain the rewards of the hereafter, which are everlasting. A Muslim should have the same kind of zeal and passion for the unity and oneness of God Almighty as God Almighty has for his own unity. If one ponders over this, they will see that there is no one who was subjected to more cruelty than the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Every kind of obscenity, verbal abuse, and expletives were hurled at him. Is this a time for Muslims to sit quietly? Remember that such a person shall be held accountable who does not take a stand against this and does not silence the liar by testifying to the truth and allows for the non-believers to shamelessly level all kinds of allegations and thereby mislead people. One should exercise all his knowledge and utilize all his contacts in this endeavor, i.e. one should devote all of his knowledge of the religion for this task, and save mankind from this affliction. It is proven from the Ahadith, i.e. the traditions of the Holy Prophet, that even if one does not fight with the Dajjal, it will still ultimately die. There is a very famous Persian idiom that every excellence has its decline. These atrocities have started since the 13th century, and now the time has come for them to be put to an end. Thus, it is the duty of every Muslim to do their utmost in their efforts to show the world the spiritual light and radiance. As I have mentioned before, that in order to show the spiritual light and radiance, Allah the Almighty has sent the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and we are extremely fortunate that we have taken his bayt, i.e. oath of allegiance. Now, it is our duty to further the mission of the promised Messiah. Mentioning one of his revelations in Brahini Ahmadiyya, the promised Messiah says, the revelation is, call down blessings on Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad, who is the chief of the children of Adam and is the Khatam al-Anbiya, i.e. the seal of the prophets. May peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Prophet Messiah states, this indicates that all these ranks, munificence and favors are on account of him, i.e. the Holy Prophet, and a reward for loving him. Subhanallah, holy is Allah. What high ranks Sarwar-e Kaunain, i.e. the chief of all creation, has in the presence of the one true God, and what kind of nearness does he have to him that his lover becomes the beloved of God, and his servant is appointed the master of a whole world. No beloved can reach the level of my beloved. The sun and the moon have no value in the city of my beloved. Where is the face possessing the brilliance of his face? Where is the garden possessing the fragrance of my beloved's garden? Drawing our attention to why we should call down blessings on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, i.e. Durood Sharif, the Prophet Messiah states, one should call down blessings on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that Allah the Almighty sends down his perfect blessings upon the Holy Prophet and makes him the fountainhead of all the blessings, and so that his lofty status, rank and stature is made manifest in this world. However, this prayer should be made in a state of great anguish, just as one prays in a state of anguish when he is faced with a difficulty. One should call down blessings on the Holy Prophet ﷺ and pray for his lofty status, just as one prays when a great calamity befalls upon him. In fact, one should pray for this with even greater vigor and fervency, and should not have any personal motive in that. He will also receive a reward, or his status shall be elevated as a result. Rather, one's sole objective should be so that the perfect and divine blessings be sent upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his majesty becomes manifest in this world and the next. Thus, the enemy may say whatever he likes and can level whatever allegations they want, but we have the love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts, and no one understands the true meaning of Khatam al-Anbiya, i.e. Seal of the Prophets, more than us. And this has all been bequeathed to us by the Prophet Messiah alayhi salam. May Allah the Almighty enable us that after every attack and act of injustice by the enemy, we continue to excel even more in our faith and invoke blessings upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more than before, so that the other Muslims also come to learn of the true status of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. May these Muslims who have strayed away come back to the right path, and may the beautiful teachings of Islam spread all over the world.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.